you're trying. I know some of y'all have a lot on your plate. I understand that. So please know I do know that. Okay? So anyway, let's see. Can we go ahead and take our guest off hold and bring him on in? Because I know he got a lot to share. Area code 682. Come on, computer. Boy, I tell you, this thing is just too slow. Hold on 1 second. Amos, give me a second here. And again, we're interviewing Monroe Howard by way of interviewing his brother, Amos Howard. And as y'all know, Amos was on a couple of weeks ago. Go back and listen to his show. He really has a lot to say. If you want to hear a lot of history about how things were back in the 60s and 70s and so forth, listen to Amos give you a serious account of that. But anyway, Amos, finally I got my computer running. Go ahead, you're on the air. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. How's everybody doing?
Oh, you're doing okay.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm sorry. We're doing okay. Let me tell you, so do me a favor and turn your phone. Remember, speak to the back of the phone. It takes the static and the bass in the voice. So flip your phone
okay,
over.
Okay, let me try to turn the volume up and see if it'll work. Most of the time it doesn't, but I'm going to try.
No, we hear you loud. You're actually louder than you should be.
It's just not clear?
It's clear. Turn the volume down a little bit, and again, talk to the back of the phone. Flip it around where the mic is facing your hand and your mouth is you're speaking literally to the back of the phone. I'm telling you,
okay.
That works.
Well, I got school on that.
It works like an expensive mic, I'm telling you.
I hear you.
But listen.
Okay, is that somewhat better as it is right now?
Yeah, that is. Just like I say, turn the volume down just a little bit. But anyway, welcome to the show again. As I said, mentioned earlier, Amos was on the show 2 weeks ago and spoke real well about he was in the spotlight, actually, letting us know about history. So I'm really looking forward to the show tonight about Monroe, which is your brother. And just so everybody know, well, how does Monroe, because some young people might be listening and they may not know exactly who Monroe is. Monroe Howard and Naomi Booker is how Linda Booker and the late Tina Booker was produced. And Monroe is Amos's brother. And so Amos and my mother, Irene Booker, Rhymes, as some of y'all know her as, is how I came into the picture. So Monroe would be my uncle. And Amos, of course, you know, like I said, Amos and Irene is how I was produced. So Linda is actually related to me twice. So we had, back in the day, my mother and Aunt Naomi dated two guys of the same family, two brothers. So kind of interesting. But Amos, go ahead and just kind of just jump in. I'm going to let you just share as much as you want to. What do you think of when you think of Monroe? And everybody, just so y'all know, we were supposed to have Linda on. We did invite her to come on. And she wasn't able to make it. So we have Amos, and I'm sure with that being his brother for as many years as he was, he is more than able to let us know exactly things about the late Monroe Howard, how he relates to the Caleb and Asley Booker's family. So please, Amos, jump in as much as whenever you want and let us know whatever's on your mind. I'm going to try not to ask as many questions. I think sometimes I like to listen to where people want to take stories without me. But go ahead.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you for that. Well, actually, from time to time, you can ask questions because, you know, originally Linda had said that she would do this along with me. So I kind of had it geared as to where she would ask me questions. And, you know, I was geared to answer her questions. And I guess the question that she would ask, if you can maybe think of and ask me, I'd be glad to answer in that order. But actually, as far as some history with Monroe, because we go back to 53 here. Monroe came to Fort Worth in 1953, of course, and I was in the service at that time. So I got out of the Army 2 years later, and I came to Fort Worth. Okay, there, of course, Monroe introduced me to the Booker family. That was about the first family that I met, along with the Hills and the Douglases and the Mallards. Those were the families that I met initially. And due to the fact that we went to Wesley Chapel together, Monroe went to Wesley Chapel, and he's known for singing in the choir and the male chorus, and he became known much more than I. Due to the fact that I was kind of laid back, and didn't initially talk a whole lot, at least that's the way people perceive me. And Monroe, he taught me the ropes, he taught me the do's and the don'ts, and what to say and what not to say, especially related to the north side, and then the entire city as far as that was concerned. Now, he was, like I said, a very outgoing, talkative, fun-loving person, and he was well-known and admired by many, but he was mostly known early on for his participation in Wesley Chapel and singing. And even today, people ask me about him and tell me about how they miss him and everything. So early on, I was actually known as Monroe's brother. Now, although I was the oldest, but I was a new kid on the block, so to speak. Now, from time to time, different one would kind of tease Monroe about how loud and boisterous he was, And they asked him, "How come, Monroe, how come you're so loud and your brother Amos, he's just quiet and nice and quiet, Not that I really was now. I'm not trying to say that I was, but at least that's the way that I was perceived. So, I saw it kind of working a little bit in my favor, so I kind of hung with it a little while, and it actually stuck with me, And I don't think Monroe took that too well, because before long, I noticed he was going out from place to place, but he wasn't taking me with him as he was initially. And I know it wasn't the fact that he didn't love me or anything like that. But I just felt that he was more comfortable going out himself and just being with his homies, instead of me. Not that I was going to object, but I was just, some things I didn't see the way he did. And, of course, that kind of took his toll. But anyway, by us going to the same church, that's us and the Bookers, Naomi, Irene, and the younger sisters, I became Well, the natural thing that I would meet Irene, because Monroe was Naomi's friend, and I was going to Wesley Chapel, and Monroe was an outgoing, fun-loving guy. I'm his brother. So they actually looked at me as being, if Monroe's all of that, well, maybe I can't be too bad, So I just kind of came in the middle like that. But like I said, I'm going to tell about Monroe. It's not about me. It's about him tonight. Now, is there any history of anybody want to know? Somehow you can get the question to me, I'll have to answer this such. Like I said, I was geared to be asked questions by Linda, basically, and for some reason she didn't show up. I don't know what happened, But one of the things about Monroe that a lot of people didn't know, and I think these are the kind of things that he would want to answer. Just like a week before last of my time, this being his time. Now, I know just about what he would answer and just about what he wouldn't answer. So feel free to ask me anything that you would have asked Monroe.
And you're doing, so far you're doing a very good job. I mean, I didn't know that history about how you being a quieter brother and him being more talkative.
Well, yeah. That's two sides to everything, Now, some people know me just the opposite of the way I initially got known. But I think it go back to my early childhood before I came to Fort Worth. I actually hear the old people say, it's better to be seen, better be heard, seen than heard, So I guess that kind of stuck with me somewhat too, But I really was, and there are people that think that I could be just like Monroe, But that part the people didn't know, so I just kind of played it cool and kind of slid in on his coattail, in a sense,
Right.
But anyway.
Right. Now, both of y'all was both born in Pittsburgh, right?
Oh, yeah. We both born in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh,
Texas. He specialized in communication and transportation and public speaking as well in school. And he did real well. And I was just the opposite. I was in the academics. I was in Interscholastic League, whereas different schools competed against one another, And in 1949, I won first place in agriculture quiz. That was the area meeting. Now, we had the local, the district, and the area meets where various schools would come together and we compete against one another. So that's the one I won, the area. The next one was the state. So that means a lot of schools, at least a dozen schools, participating. And I came out first place. And if early on, if you had asked me what was one of my greatest feats in school, I would easily tell you, you know, being the best, the very best it was at that particular time in several, in many schools. So that's why I have that, you know, on my record. And for a while, you know, it was good. And I kind of, you know, played on it and bragged about it. And it was, everyone else did too. That was something about agriculture, agriculture quiz, soil conservation, and all that kind of stuff. And I, like I said, I had to be good in the course to –
Let me ask you this. Now, Monroe had two kids by Aunt Naomi, or some people know her as Naomi Booker. He had two children by her, Tina and Linda. Do you recall a lot of dealings with? I know this is a dumb question, kind of, but for somebody that don't know, did know Tina. And don't know much about Linda, it's not a bad question at all. But those of us that know him, it's probably sound like a dumb question. But do you recall spending a lot of time with them, or and any experiences that kind of stick out with Tina or Linda? See, because Tina have children today, and I'm sure they have heard all the stories about their mom. I think it, Blake and Ashley and Miss Katina. Or Tina's children, and I'm sure they would appreciate anything to remember if they don't already know it. But I know if it was me, I would want to hear anything about my mom, you know, if she wasn't around. And I hopefully this show don't. One thing you got to be careful when you're talking about people that have passed is you don't want to make it turn into something sad and gloomy. The show tonight, folks, is designed to talk about Monroe Howard. So much so that we all have a clear, crystal clear knowledge of his contribution. Now, Monroe wasn't perfect, no more than probably anybody that's been on the show was. But this show is designed to focus on what he did that was good, encouraging, that we can glean strength from all of these people that we interview. Yeah, we can always talk about something somebody didn't do, procrastinations or faults they had. We can always go there. But I think people this day, Amos, need more encouragement, inspiration than ever before in the history of mankind. And that is the only reason why I thought to have this show. And I don't know what the Most High, I believe he inspired me to do it. And no telling what this show is going to end up doing in the future. So I'm just saying that's my immediate mentality of having it, as far as what I know, is one thing, but the Most High may have a whole other reason for it. But I saw a need for us to, because the family is so huge. I counted 100 people just on Caleb and Azalee Booker's tree. Now, if you start talking about the Douglases, start talking about your side of the family, it is a whole lot more. So, again, we have become strangers. And I think we need to change that. And this show, people would just get involved more. I know a lot of people listen. We had over 1,000 people to actually listen to these shows. But I'm talking about participation, like calling in more. We normally have a lot of call-ins too. But I guess what I'm saying is I need to see this phone line light up. I want to see it max out because I know for a fact we have a very large family. While we may have a lot of people listening, y'all should probably say, well, you should be satisfied. I know what the family's capable of. We got a lot of talent. We got a lot of singers. We got a lot of rappers. We got a lot of musicians. We got a lot of smart people that can talk about these economics and break it out even further that I kind of tried to do earlier. And I just want that. That's what I'm looking for. And so anyway, Amos, didn't mean to kind of go off there, but I just want people to know exactly what we're doing. All right? So, anyway, Amos, let me ask you this. About Tina, let's go back to the Tina, the late Tina Booker, who was deceased. This is we're talking about Monroe, who was deceased also, but and his daughter has deceased, Tina. and you was around when Tina was around and Monroe was around. So share a little bit about these two people that's no longer with us that some may find interesting.
Well, about Tina, of course, she's been gone quite a while now, but like I mentioned before, for some reason, early on, me and Tina would always talk, you know. And, you know, like I said, she was teasing about Irene and different things like that, you know. So she just, for some reason, like I say, of course, I love all of them, you know, equally. But, and I think Naomi seemed to think that I like Tina better than I did, you know, the rest of them. But it really wasn't that. It's just that that's just the way it is. Some people you can, you just have a better rapport with than others. Like Lynn and I talked earlier, and she had agreed to come on the show, but like I say, I'm sure she had a reason as to why she didn't. But I kind of look at Naomi as being somewhat like I was. You know, like Irene, Bernamy, and all the rest of them, they was kind of what I would call outgoing more. And Naomi, I can consider her kind of like I was. She's kind of laid back. Now, she speak her mind on everything and then some, you know. So I don't know. I just hope she didn't. I hope Brother Tina, I mean Linda, didn't talk to her before she came on air, because otherwise she might have just.
Let me just say this. I think what it is Linda normally keeps her word. When she says something, she do it. I just feel like somebody came up that sometimes they can't tell you everything, all the details. I mean, it's just the way it is, but. We'll have a show. Linda is actually going to be one of the persons I'm going to ask. I mean, really, I'm going to ask her to come on and do her own show.
That'll be a good thing.
Just like 2 weeks ago, when you was on, she's going to come on. I'm going to have her do her own, the whole show, and I'm going to try to do the same for everybody over 50. Then we'll go over 40, and then we'll go over 30, and then we'll go. Just keep going like that. And that way we'll eventually aim to get every single person on the show. That's my goal. Now, if we do that, guess what happens, Amos? If we're able to do that, that means one thing. That means that everybody will have an hour of talking about what they are really about. So there's no reason. If somebody really say, I'd like to know, I'd like to know Seth more. Well, my mouth, they can hear me every single week. But let's say they want to know Dwight more. You know, it. excuse me, I don't know what it is. I'm just coughing a lot. But if they wanted to know more about Dwight, what they would do is just simply click on the show. Let's say they missed Dwight. Let's say something happened to Dwight. And I'm not picking on Dwight. It can be anybody. Let's say you. Something happened to you. And they can always got you on twice, actually. You're on talking about yourself, and you're on talking about Monroe. This way, everybody hear from your mouth. No, Amos not from. He's from Pittsburgh, Texas. He said, I heard him say on the show. No, Amos, this is what Amos really was trying to do back in the 60s, because he said he's heavily involved in politics. No, Amos' daddy was like this. No, I heard him. See, they have it from your mouth. Blog Talk has this thing where they'll leave this archive like this forever. So a year from now, 2 years from now, if somebody wants to listen to you, listen to your show you did 2 weeks ago, they can hear it. So having said that, hopefully that gives a little clarity as to why we do this show. Now, Monroe, I want you to mention something about Monroe and that you remember. Do you remember any experiences with Monroe and Asley? Or Monroe and Caleb Senior.
Well, one thing I remember vividly about was Caleb. I know he and Monroe was close. One thing, I think Monroe drove his car, and anybody drive his car, from what I understand, you got to be pretty much in good standing with him. And based on how I was received, Monroe had to make him pack on this. And I don't know a whole lot about Miss Booker. She was just, you know, this ordinary. I think she, to my own thinking, she probably liked me, you know. But I can't say, well, Mr. Caleb, he, well, you know, like I said, he never said nothing bad to me. He just was like I said, he was a disciplinarian, and he just let you know where he stood and blah, blah, blah. But Monroe could more or less, like, have his way. And Monroe could do things that I couldn't do as far as he's concerned. Monroe kept his car, and Monroe was a mechanical. He used to work on cars, and see, I wasn't very good at working on cars. So Monroe actually started driving before I did, although I'm older than he is, you know. He just is something about him and cars. And as you know, everybody know Monroe know he liked to drive big cars, and he was always did have one way or another. And he would brag, and he would race along like, you know, like the Douglas did, you know, EC and Joe Boy, Eddie Arthur, Junior.
See, that's one
of
the things I remember. That's one of the things I remember is his. I don't know if I could say love, but I know he was always in a brand new car. That is one thing I remember. And I remember him being jolly. I remember him being always upbeat. I don't think I ever seen him down and out and sad. I do remember that. That's what I remember. You say, what do you remember, Seth, about Monroe? That's what I remember. And that's one reason I was looking forward to doing this show, because I really am, you know, curious. And I don't know that I'll always be curious about family members. And it's just something and I've heard lots of people say, like I played this clip earlier from Tasha, a lot of people really do value what we're trying to accomplish here, Amos. A lot of people. So it ain't just us. A lot of people see the value in this. But you were saying that he kind of just had his way, not had his way, but he had favor with Caleb Booker, you felt.
Right.
And he was in the choir. That's another thing I didn't know. I didn't know he sung. I should have known.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's most of what he's known by. Now, I sang in the male chorus, of course, too, but I didn't, not as much as he did, not to the extent that he did. Also, my sister, we all did, and, Naomi, and, Irene, you know, we all was there. And Wesley Chapel is the catalyst to, I think, you know, our getting together, because we were, you know, church oriented, and so was the Booker, and that we were going to the same church, the same kind of church and everything, so it just stuck with us, you know. Of course, after we went to another church, later on, and as the years passed, you know, we went to another church, and that took on another whole perspective. But Monroe wasn't involved in that too much, so we almost keep him Monroe orientated, not Amos orientated, you know. But speaking of him, now everyone knows he, you know, I very little. He would just like to have fun. He liked to, you know, drink a little booze every once in a while. Of course, I guess we all did to some extent. But I didn't even do it enough for people to know that I did it at all, because it wasn't no big thing to me, you know. But to him, that was kind of like his trademark early on. But, you know, we all changed a little bit later on, you know. And I didn't do a whole lot of...
What are you saying with his trademark?
Well, having fun and partying, and he liked to drink a lot, you know. Everybody know him. That's no secret. Everybody know him. Knew he liked to drink, you know, and have fun. Not that he mistreated nobody, but that's just kind of like his lifestyle.
Yeah.
And already let the people know, at least they thought I was quiet and I did like that. I said, hey, it's feel pretty good. So I just, you know, so I just rolled that little thing here for a while.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Military and Monroe. I heard, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That
I was just going to get to that one. Monroe, he went in the Army after about 5 or 6 years here. He went to Vietnam back in the day. And as you all, I can't say as you all know, because you probably don't know, Monroe got, was in a line, he got ambushed with a landmine. He got blown up. And that's how he lost his eye. And he used to tell a story about what he went through and what he was thinking during the time. He was hoping that they find, I mean, he was in such bad shape. He said he hoped his people find him, you know, intact. Because he lost his eye completely, and when he come to himself, he had his eye in his hand. Well, what did he say? That's kind of, well, you probably need to know that. But anyway, he had a hard time. He did get a bomb, well, it was a landmine, which is the same as a small bomb in Vietnam back in the day. And he was sent to Fort Sam Houston to recuperate there in San Antonio. So, of course, we all was upset about that and went down there and saw him. But due to the fact that he had a prayerful background, and he had been to church, and not only going to church, the church had to do something for you. And apparently, you did something for him, because he's telling me about how many times how he trusted God. You know, it's amazing everybody can become a Christian when they're in trouble. But then you got to, when it's going good with us, you know, we got to learn to do that as well. And he kind of had enough practice, so to speak, behind him that it wasn't no big thing for him, because he prayed, and just like, you know, we did, and like Irene did, and like we used to do at the prayer of faith, you know. And over there, like I said, they took it to another level. And that's my remembrance of Prayer of Faith Temple, is the kind of service they had. Of course, Wesley Chapel was good, but I was younger and kind of like inexperienced. But when we went there, everything just seemed to go to another level. And
let me ask you
about Irene last week.
Hold on a second, Amos, because Prayer of Faith, he didn't go to Prayer of Faith, right? Monroe didn't go to Prayer of Faith, right?
No, Monroe didn't.
Oh,
okay. I was just making an example as I went.
Yeah.
Monroe didn't.
Oh.
I went. And I guess the only reason I went, truthfully, because, you know, that's where Irene was going, and
right.
She told me that, and I went over there visiting early on.
Amos, but, let me ask you this to kind of keep spot. Let me ask you this to kind of keep the spotlight on Monroe, because I want to get as much about him as I can. What did he think of you and you kind of, what did he think of you venturing out to different faiths?
Monroe?
Yeah. You know, they got the whole eight.
Well, as long as it worked for me, he never objected me doing anything or going anywhere. As long as it worked for me, it was all right with him, you know. So that's one thing. I never had no objection, not only Monroe, but anybody else, you know, because that was my choice, and I was of age and everything. So he has, you know, gave me credit for knowing what I was doing.
You know, a lot
of
times it's a big deal when brothers
this is one thing I can truthfully say, and I'm not making up nothing. I don't have to, and I wouldn't if I could. No, he never did object, you know, especially me being around y'all, because he thought so much of you, for one thing. It's kind of unusual situation we had there. You know, usually it's always some turmoil, but the only problem we ever had, it had to be between me and Irene directly, or Monroe and Naomi directly. Beyond that, was no ill feeling one way or the other on either part. You know, I can truthfully say that.
Let me ask you this, kind of reflecting back on the whole how can I say this? When you first came into the picture, and you know, I know you was dating Mama, and Monroe was dating Naomi. Talk about your family and the Booker family for a second. Your parents, and how they talk about that relationship between the family of your mother and maybe Aunt Naomi and Mama. Just kind of hit on that a little bit.
Well, actually, like I said, that wasn't a whole lot of interaction, because for one thing, like I say,
The reason why I brought that up is you was talking earlier, when we was talking on the phone earlier, you had mentioned a lot of key things that Naomi did with your mom.
Let me get on that a little bit. Right. No, but how that came about, Naomi would come, she would always come visit Mother, when Tina and Lena was younger, and Naomi would take it upon herself to come visit us. A lot of times she would walk over there, you know, walk the Angle Street from over there on Ross. And I thought that was unusual. She'd bring the children with her, and she would always make sure that Mother knew exactly who they were, and they knew exactly who Mother were. So it kind of like grew on a little bit, you know, and that was unusual for her to do that. That's why I say it's always two sides to everything. Although Naomi didn't approve a lot of things, she'd speak her piece about anything, but then yet and still, she was the one that went out of her way to come over there and make sure that Linda and Tina, in particular, had a good relationship with Mother and to know exactly who she was. And that lasted throughout. you know, she'd be leaving over there to stay with her momentarily. So it wasn't the church thing with Mother, and as far as Mother and Naomi's concerned, it's the fact that Naomi came over to, she was visited over there. She would call over there. And Mother was buying her some. We was talking about the other day. Her mother would buy them little things, you know. And it's just the fact that she went out of her way to make sure about that. And as opposed to the others. Now, everybody knew everybody in June, but specifically with Naomi. That's why today we got a good relationship with, you know, with Linda and Naomi and all, because that is something she did. Although a lot of things, and I don't ever try to see that. I always try to look at the bright side of everything. We can always, two people can be looking at one incident, and yet instead they give different reports.
And
you know, the whole world is full of beauty if your eyes are full of love, and that's just the way that I saw things. You know, I didn't, if it wasn't broke, I didn't try to fix it. So,
and
not
also
a lot of things.
I kind of also want to mention to everybody listening, and that will be listening in the future, that there is Roland. There is another member in this equation, and that is Roland. Can't forget about
right.
Mr. Roland Booker. Now, Roland is Naomi's youngest child, and he probably wouldn't care, but I don't want to miss him, because Roland was he played a serious part in the whole family structure with Tina and Linda, and so. Just want to let everybody know that the Roller came on a lot later. I don't know how, what's the age difference, but I remember him coming on a little later. And so, but definitely there is three.
Oh, absolutely.
Tina, Linda, and Roland. So all of this history with Monroe, there was a lot of interaction with Roland. Roland has done a lot for the family. He was, many times
absolutely.
He was the man, one of the men in the house, and he helped raise everybody, you know, I'm sure contributed to Ashley's success and Katina's success and Blake's success and Alicia's success, and Linda's daughters. This is a one big family, so I don't want to miss nobody. That's not what we trying to accomplish here, because Alicia, that Monroe was her granddaddy, and I remember at the funeral, those girls was really, you know, sad, like everybody else was. And, I know that they had a close relationship with their granddad, so I just wanted to mention some other names. There were definitely other names. All of these people loved Monroe, and hopefully I didn't miss anybody. Y'all know I've been away for 19 years. I've just been back now 3.5 years, but I'm kind of, you know, every once in a while I'll miss a name, but I think I got pretty much everybody, you know. So just so we know, Naomi does have three children, and they have children, and all these people was definitely involved with Monroe. Now, Amos, real quick, what do you think Monroe's favorite song was? I always ask everybody that. What was Monroe's favorite song?
Wow.
Did you ever even notice?
Well, not really. If it does come to me, probably will sometime in this interview before I get through. And if so,
Let me know, because what I like
okay.
to do,
but
I always
I tell
like
what,
to.
Let me do this. It's something I was going to say, and you're somebody rolling. Okay. One thing, let me tell you about Monroe and this. I didn't even know. It was way on. By the time Roland came along, I didn't know, you know. So I never know the difference. I didn't never know, you know, what was what. Now, I saw Roland back when it was real 100-degree weather. He saw me downtown. And he said, "Hey, Uncle, where you going in this heat?" He was worried about me in the heat, you know. And so he always had, wherever I saw him at. And I saw him one day, I think he was driving his truck on the south side. And on Hemp Hill. That's what it was. And it was the same thing. See, no difference was made. I can't tell you of a time that any time he's been in the equation that any difference whatsoever was made, you know. And it's certain if he see me now, he called me Unc, and just like you would think he's blood kin to me, you know. So that was no difference on that part, and I was going to mention that. The last time I saw Roland, he, like as always, he was worried about me being a hot son and all. I was downtown on Throckmorton at the water company. And he said, you sure you're all right? You know, now he asked what they said, you sure? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I was walking. It was about 100 degrees, you know, during the hot weather. So that was the last time, but that was other times that we came in contact with one another. But it's always the same, you know. Yeah. That's the unique thing about this. And I'm glad that I can say this, you know. I really wouldn't manufacture something that's totally wrong.
Right,
see, I won't, you know, dot all the I's and cross all the T's. But for the most part, you know, I'm going to tell it like it is because ain't no need to do nothing. This. I thank God that I can, you know, and everybody should be, you know, at ease with what's going on because the past is the past. But I do focus on the good. I don't focus.
Right. Let me ask you this, Amos, because time is we kind of losing track. You're not losing track of time, but I'm losing no track of time.
I have to tell it like it is.
Amos, can you hear me?
That's the input I have about Roland. You know, he's a number one with me, was then and now. You know.
So, Amos, can you hear me? Okay.
Beg pardon?
Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I'm trying to jump in, and I don't think you can hear me. So I'm going to ask that you turn your volume down just a little bit because I'll be, you know, trying to jump in here. And I'm only doing this because we're kind of crushed for time here. And I want to be
turn it down, you say?
Just turn it down because you're not hearing me when I go to interject or kind of switch gears. I want us to stay on certain things a certain amount of time where we can get more and more in about Monroe.
Oh, okay?
Okay,
all right, yeah. Yeah, I can hear you now real good. So, yeah, you can continue to ask your question. I answer, you know, as best as I can.
Okay, so let me do it like this. Let's do it like this. In about 2 minutes, share with me Monroe's relationship with how can I say this? I remember your mom, because I stayed with you for a little while, and I remember your mom being very nice. I'm not just saying that to be all, you know, how we got the one rule on the show, be positive. But she really was a nice lady. I mean, always to me. I mean, that's one thing I can say. I'd give her an A. Everybody I can say, I've seen people when they screaming or yelling. I can say that about everybody I know, but I don't really have anything bad to say about your mom. That is honest to God truth. So how was their relationship, I mean, Monroe and your mom? Somebody may want to know that.
Monroe and mother's?
Uh-huh.
It was a good relationship. The only thing, well, there's one thing, one drawback that, and one thing that mother didn't like, brother, about Monroe, and that's the fact that the alcohol, he would drink sometime, and, you know, not that he would ever disrespect it, but just she had a thing against drinking, you know, and that was one of her pet peeves, you know, and that every time he'd come home drunk, you know, she wouldn't like that, and she would, you know, let him know it. But other than that, everything was, you know, good, you know, it was in order. As far as I know, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And
right, let me ask you
this. But not only Monroe, but anytime anybody would come over there, they would automatically, now you can't be drinking, you know how Miss George is. And they would put their bottle up. That's what all the friends I've had, you know, Nova, my sister as well, they know when they get there, if they've been drinking, you know, they always straighten up, because that's one of the things that she didn't like, you know. For whatever reason, she just had a thing against drinking. And but she didn't have that problem with me, but then Monroe kind of come home, you know, a little lit up sometime, and that was one of the few things she didn't like. But other than
let me ask you this. So y'all went to school in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, we did.
You didn't go to school in Fort Worth at all?
No, I didn't. No more than when I started working at General Dynamics, I went to sheet metal school, in a seminary school. You know, I went there here. That's all.
Let me do this, Amos. I want you to just for a second. I always like to give people a breather. And anybody on the phone lines, if you have a question tonight, I'm not going to push this because we don't have much time. If you have a question or comment, press 1 on the phone. Those of you in the chat room, if you have a question or comment, y'all know what to do. Type your question. If you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you can ask a question. If not, you know we can't do that. So anyway, Amos, let me just take a brief little break, and we'll come back and finish out this show, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to actually play this song that I played earlier. This song to me is pretty deep. I like the song, and this will give you time to think, and then we'll close out once this song is over. This is by Luther Barnes called It's Your Time. Check this out. And we'll be right back after this song with the rest of this interview. Amos, in the meantime, like I said, just think of things you might have forgotten or want to say. All right? So, folks, we'll be right back. Check this out.
For the Lord, for what seems like a lifetime. You have dreamed and you've worked towards things that you wanted to accomplish for yourself. But somehow your biggest goals always seem to be just out of your reach. But the Lord told me to tell you that He knows who you are. Yes, He's seen your work, and He's also seen your tears. And He wants you to know today that you're not forgotten. He's here to reward you for all your faithfulness. But He said in His word that if you would delight yourself in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, not only will He give you what you need, but He promised to give you whatever you want. So don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Hang in there and prepare yourself for your blessing. It's your time now.
Enjoy hearing that song. And those of you that's been faithful, hey, that's your song. All right, Amos, welcome back to the show, everybody.
Okay.
What do you think of that song, Amos?
Oh, that's a real good song. It's a,
have you heard that before?
Yeah, I heard it a time or two before. And one song, I did think of one song he used to sing. And I think Miss Frazier started singing after she heard him sing. Well, if I can help somebody, you know, as I go along the way, then my living won't be in vain. That was one of the songs. He had several. I just can't think of all of them now. But if I may, I would like to mention one thing, like a part of his testimony, a thing that he always said. You know, due to the fact that he was, you know, well-versed in the Bible, and he always liked to talk about deep things. And I talk about things with him that I couldn't talk about with nobody else. So one of the things he always said, and it became his trademark, and anybody that's been around him long enough probably heard him say this. He always said that the weight of a lie is on the teller. Now, anybody he ever been around any length of time probably heard him say that, especially
Wait,
in a lot
again,
of years.
Say that again. Say it again.
The weight of a lie is on the teller. You know, like some have a weight, a burden, a consequence, you know, the weight of a lie. I mean, the heaviness of it. Although, you know, we all been hurt by fallacies in one way or another. But what he stresses is the point that although you've been hurt by a lie, the person is telling us a lie, you understand, will wind up being hurt much more because the weight, you know, the weight of it, is on him, the one that's telling it. And he always, like I say, he dealing in deep things. You have to think a lot of time, you have to think twice about some of the things he say. And like discover and uncover. And we go in the Bible, and he likes to talk about the new heaven and the new earth and everything. You know, he just likes to get deep in the Bible. And that's a lot of things that people didn't know about him, and that's what I was going to mention a little later on. And that's some things I could discuss with him that I wouldn't, you know, even try to discuss with anyone else because he understood, you know, the Bible in depth. You know, we all have a basic understanding of it, but it's not real deep, you know, in the Bible. And he can explain all that I was talking about the new heaven and the new earth and all this, you know, but that's a different thing right now. But that's some of the things that, well, that's one of the things in particular that was his motto,
That's part of him. He said, the weight of a lie. Like if someone tell a lie on you, it hurts momentarily. But the bulk of this devastation is going to come back to the one that told it rather than the one that told it on. And that's just one of the things that he advocated quite a bit. And I'm pretty sure Lennon and them probably heard him say it many times, you know, especially if they was doing that, you know. But that was one of the things I just want to, you know, get that over there. That's something, that was one of the things that he really loved, something he lived by, you know, later on, that the weight of a lie is on the teller. And we will know, if we think about it, we'll know that to be the truth itself. But we all have something we have to live by. We all should have a motto, you know. In mine, of course, you didn't ask me, but if I can help somebody, if I can touch the lives of many people in a positive way while I'm here, you know, and that's my thing. If I can touch lives in a positive manner, that would be, you know, my motto. I would look upon that the same light in which Mondo would look upon that the weight of a lie. I don't know, maybe at some point in life he might have been devastated by somebody telling a lie only to see the detriment of the person who told it come to pass. Maybe that's what spurred him to like it. I don't know. But, you know, if someone asked me, you know, what do I do? What's my mission here on earth? And what would you like to see accomplished? And I would just merely say that I would like to, I want to be able to touch many lives in a positive way while I'm here and to help somebody's life be better, you know. I know it's a simple thing, but if everybody did this, I think we'd have a better world. You know.
So let me ask you this. What do you think he would say as far as his mission in life? Well, what would he like to be remembered by? I mean, you know him. You was his brother. He's got grandchildren that's probably is going to hear this broadcast, some of them. And what do you think, now that he's gone, having known him, having probably talked about death, is, you know, billion times, with him, how do you think he want to be remembered?
Man, that's a heavy question.
I mean, I'm thinking about Mars right now. That's my brother. My brother's name is Mars, okay? Now, we talk as younger when we talk a lot more when we was younger. We don't talk that much now, but I still think I have an idea of what he would say to that question. So I'm saying, y'all being a lot older, what do you think your brother would like to be remembered by? I mean, you know.
Well, Seth, that'd be pretty hard for me to answer right now without even having time to think. You know, by the time you get it over, we realize a lot of things that, you know, you wish people well and, you know, peaceful world. We all wish that in general. But there's always something to stick at. But right now, I can't put a thing on what it was that he would advocate more than anything else. You know, of course, I just mentioned somewhat of mine, but right now, any time in the future, if I could think about it, I'll definitely, you know, pass that on.
Yeah. Well, listen, Amos, I'm going to be honest, it's been very enlightening. I don't know, these shows, because I'm a host and I'm asking the questions, but I try my best to think of what other people would want to hear. And
right.
I said, he's got a lot of grandkids, and they're on Facebook, and when I send them this clip, they may click on it and go straight to the archives and listen. And I just want them to have some answers when they go there. It's just, like I say, I know I keep saying this, but this show has many purposes. It's for many things. Not that somebody's going to die. That's not it. It's just I'm real funny, you know. Either if I figure the family don't want to be bothered, I'm the type of person I'll drop this so cold and I won't be interested in doing anything similar to it. Because I believe in trying, helping until I get other messages. Now, so far, it's been going really good. I wish there was more participation, but what I really want to do is create this massive email list of text cell phone numbers, and I want to send one message, and it goes to everybody's cell phone, reminding them that the show starts in 30 minutes.
That's what I really want to do. Then everybody has got a fresh reminder, and they don't have an excuse. Because a lot of people really do want to hear it. They just forget because they are so busy. I know I am. But I just made up my mind, this is my contribution to the family, you know. Yes, I'm busy too. I can easily name five things I should be doing other than this show, but I just figure this is my way of giving back. You know, I'm not going to be driving all around the world saying hi to family. That's just not me. I don't have time, and I love them, but we got to just live our own lives and just see each other once a year at the social event in the summer or the banquet. And I just can't see everybody. I don't plan on seeing everybody. But I do think if we have a show like this, this is our way of stopping in periodically whenever we want to and just saying, hey, you ain't got to do it every week. I don't expect nobody to listen to the show every week. But it's just something that's there if you need it. If you want to know about Monroe Howard, there it is. Click on it. And there's Amos talking about everything he could think of about his brother. And you get a fresh understanding of his contribution. I forgot that about his eye. I actually forgot that he was wounded. That all brought it back, and you have made it very clear. So I think you've done a very good job.
Not cutting you off, but I was kind of geared to ask a question. I was thinking Linda was going to ask me stuff, and I was just asking things jotted down that she might ask and what I was going to tell her in the event that she asked. But anyway, we can do that anytime. We don't have to just do it on the air because we talked already. It ain't like we haven't got together before. And that's a good thing about us, you know. We talk all the time anyway. It's a good thing for other related people to find out, you know. But as far as me and Linda and doing Tina during her lifetime, we did a little bit more than the rest of them. But we do it now. I talk to them. She was at my party 2 weeks ago, you know. So that tells me that she's still plugged in, you know. So
yeah.
It ain't like she can't never get it no more because I'm way out trying to, you know, I've been living right here 34 years. This one spot. I haven't been nowhere, you know. So I am a runoff. Ain't nobody had to go nowhere looking for me, you know. I moved here in 1978. That's for right 34 years. And before that, I stayed in Fort Worth, you know. I haven't moved nowhere for even a little while. I haven't been out of Fort Worth 4 days in a row since I came here in 1955. So if anybody hadn't found me, well, they wasn't looking for me, you know, because I've been here.
Right. I guess
you know
what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, listen, like I said, tonight we just wanted to just pay homage to the late Monroe Howard, and I think that you shared several things that was important. Hold on a second. He has been, you know, the spotlight tonight, and I just wanted to just do one more thing before I go, and again, thank you for sharing all of the knowledge you know about Monroe. Okay, I really appreciate that. And don't forget, y'all, 2 weeks ago, Amos shared about himself. Anybody can go and click on that audio, and you can get all of the information on Amos himself. Just a bunch of stuff. He talked for literally an hour and a half. So I think that's the most anybody have shared, which is a good thing. So you got a chance to really share a lot of facts, and so I'm telling y'all that's a good show to listen to. You get your money's worth, so to speak, because Amos spoke a little bit more. And but before you go, Amos, I'm gonna try to play this song. I have the song that you said Monroe liked. I'm gonna end the show with that song. It was a song that actually Patti LaBelle song. And we'll just let her go out with that. But before we do, again, I'm going to ask you this question, see if you can think of anything else. What do you think Monroe would say? I must ask this is a different question. What do you think Monroe would say to his granddaughters and grandchildren, I should say?
What the message he would give to the grandchildren?
Right. Now I know you're not him, we understand that. But they probably have a message in their own head, that they, you know, because again he had quite a few grandkids and I remember the funeral, I remember them really being sad. What do you think he would say to them, if anything? If he passed,
Well, the number one thing I think is the advice he would give his grandchildren. So, you know, be obedient, first of all, to their parents. You know, just listen to them in general. Just be obedient to your parents, because we always kind of revel in the thought that, you know, a disobedient child, you know, won't live all his days. And it's just a blessing, you know, to honor your father and your mother today may be long. It's a lot of things that come, a good blessing that come along with honoring your father and your mother. And I think it all starts with that. And I think that's what he would stress, you know, because they were here, they have the wisdom and everything. Although we don't like what they tell us a whole lot of time, but more time than not, it goes for a good purpose. So I think he would really just stress the fact to just, you know, honor your father and your mother. And whatever you consider honor is, and, you know, we all basically think the same thing because we're not crazy. You know, we know what honoring your mother is. You know, talking back to her, cursing out, disrespecting, that's not honor. So we know what honor is, and that's what I feel like he would tell them. It's honor your father and your mother, you know. And your days will be long. And,
now, we didn't talk a lot.
I just thought of something
before you hang up. We didn't talk a whole lot about his childhood, and we can't get into it like I really would like to right now. But
childhood?
Yeah, I mean, how, can we at the end of the show, and I should have asked this earlier, but I just can't hang up without asking it, since I just thought, how was he when y'all was coming up? I mean, was he a knucklehead early on? You know, I know everybody ain't perfect.
No, believe it or not, Monroe was really a smart individual. You know, we used to have the Easter pageants, and he would set speeches. He always, see, Monroe, everywhere Monroe was gone, used to go, everybody thought he was a preacher. And I guess he had that kind of anointing to follow him. So he was always an orator, he was a narrator, he was a singer. And wherever he went, people could just look for Monroe to do something, you know, in that order, you know. He have had people come up and try to give him early on collection because they thought he was a preacher. And as a kid, where we come from the church, and I think he was a junior preacher or something like that, and that just kind of like grew on us. And he always was, not he's just outgoing now, he'd been that way, you know, all along. And that's what we were, I mean, you know, what you can identify with Monroe, especially, you know, when he was younger. He just always were, you know, a talker, and he used to say speeches, and people used to laugh at him, and you know how little kids be cute and they be saying speeches and things. So we came up in the church, we'd always had an Easter program, and they would always look forward to him in dialogue, but we used to call it dialogue then. It's no more than a play, but he always was kind of like an actor. He always played the part of, everybody looked forward to what he was going to do because, you know, he played various parts, and he could play it good. Shakespeare, that's how, I guess his middle name is his name. That's part of his name, Shakespeare. You know.
Oh, his middle name is Shakespeare?
Huh? His Monroe Jonathan Shakespeare Howard. He got Monroe John. I mean, you know, I know you don't know all that. But anyway, we just kind of tease it. And, but he would always, you know, be kind of fasted with it, you know, and he'd say speeches and people would applaud him. And he knew it. You know, he was good at things like that. That's how he wound up taking public speaking, you know. And I thought I was good at quiz. I thought I knew stuff, so I wound up taking the quiz thing, and I did good in it. So we were just, he was a public speaker. He was outgoing. He was an orator. He was a narrator. He said speeches. He sang songs. And I worked pubs. I worked situations out, and I was good in agriculture. When I went to work for General Dynamics, I could have got a job at the United States Department of Agriculture. But during that time, the F-111 program was new. And I thought that was exciting to me, so I actually got in the wrong field. And I got a recommendation from my advisor at home, who is the advisor of the agriculture advisor now. And but I took the aircraft building because I thought it was more exciting. So I might have missed that on something, but it's all right. But that's how we were. He was on one side, and I was on the other, you know.
Well, listen, you said a lot, you know, and again, I appreciate it, and I'm sure.
Well, I really wish Tina could have been here because I don't know what she was going to ask me, and I jotted down some things I thought she probably would have asked me, and it would have been more.
You meant to say Linda. You said I wish Tina
was
here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Linda. And
well, look,
I was trying to get to answer some questions.
It's okay. It's okay. You know, we got you covered a lot. You covered a whole lot of accomplishments. And if I was Monroe, I would be like, hey, you did pretty good, man. You covered a lot of bases. So I appreciate that. You know, to some people that didn't know Monroe, wasn't that close, maybe might not have the same value. But for those that did know him, I'm sure they are really glad at what you had to say about there by Monroe. I know for a fact they're very grateful. So what I want to do, Amos, again, I just want to thank you. You didn't have to take this last minute you know, interview, but you did. I shouldn't say last minute, because actually we planned this 2 weeks ago.
Well, hey, man, it's the least I can do. You know, I just happen to be the one that was here, and I know a few things that other people don't quite know, and I just want to straighten it out. Like I say, it's not to cause any kind of controversy or change nothing or, you know, correct anything whatsoever. Just, it's some of the few things we get away from us in life, you know. And a lot of things I didn't know, a lot of things I have learned myself, you know. So, and I know how important it could be to somebody. It might not mean something to one person, but it could mean everything to someone else.
Right. Well, let's do this, Amos. I want to wrap it up because I want to stay true to letting people
out. Yeah, but I got a ride supposed to be back in any minute now, and that's why I wanted to mention.
Well,
3 minutes, as a matter of fact. 11:15, wow.
Yeah, but you...
Yeah, I was going to mention that to you, but I just had to put that in there.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Like I said, you did a good job. I'm going to wrap this up by playing his song. You say one of his favorite songs, if I can just help somebody, my living will not be in vain. And Patti LaBelle is actually singing this to a friend of hers, but it's relevant to this situation. So we're going to end that with Patti LaBelle singing, if I can just help somebody, then my living will not be in vain. And again, I want to thank you for coming on the show, talking about your brother for a whole hour. And Linda and Tina and Roland and everybody else should mention, the grandkids. Just whoever you mentioned with regards to Monroe and the...
Well, maybe we can take it to another level, sis. That's what I'm hoping, you know. Because a lot of people are getting out. I've talked to several people about it, and they think it's a good idea. Everybody I talk to about it thinks it's a good idea. So it's kind of like, you're kind of like a model, man. A lot of people are going to start doing this stuff, man. I'll tell you that straight up. You know. So you're doing a good thing yourself, and I can't thank you enough for what you're doing, you know. So it's the least I could do, man. You know, anything I can do to help at any time, ring my bell, okay?
I hear you, and we'll be talking. So I'm going to go ahead and close out for now. But don't hang up. I want you to enjoy this song, and then the rest of y'all, don't hang up. Those y'all in the chat room, don't go nowhere. Check this song out. You know, Patti LaBelle always bring it. Again, this song is to a friend of hers, but it's still relative to Monroe. This is one of his favorite songs. You know how Patti LaBelle might change it a little bit, but hopefully it's for the better. So anyway, thank you, everybody, for stopping by the Booker Douglas Family Friends Network. Y'all check us out next week, 9 to 11. And you'll be blessed, okay? I love every single one of y'all. And Amos, again, thank you for coming on. And I'm going to mute you for now. And we'll just talk a little later on, all right?
You bet. Anytime, man. You know that.
All right. Okay, so that was Amos. Again, he just thought to come on again and talk about Monroe. Linda was supposed to come, but I'm sure something came up. Y'all check this out. Good night, every single one of y'all, and enjoy the rest of the, enjoy the night. This is the end. I would assume y'all going to bed after this. But check this out, Patti LaBelle.
Because if you know the history of the whole concept of whiteness, if you know the history...
That's funny. That was actually Tim Wise talking about white supremacy. That's on a regular show I do another time in the week. No, I didn't mean to play that. Here we go. This is Patti LaBelle. Sorry.
When I think of Miss Osceola McCarthy and the wonderful things she's done in her lifetime, the words of this song come to mind. Yes, they do. Thank you, Miss McCarthy. child in me.
I was just at Walgreens because I needed to find the right relief for my allergies. You know the symptoms. An itchy nose, watery eyes, sneezing. Luckily, Walgreens has trusted brands like Claritin, so I can find powerful 24-hour non-drowsy relief from both my indoor and outdoor allergies. So, no matter what the season brings, Walgreens is around the corner with the right relief fast. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Find great value on Claritin allergy relief products at Walgreens. Use as directed. I was just at Walgreens because I needed to find the right relief for my allergies. You know the symptoms. An itchy nose, watery eyes, sneezing. Luckily, Walgreens has trusted brands like Claritin, so I can find powerful 24-hour non-drowsy relief from both my indoor and outdoor allergies. So, no matter what the season brings, Walgreens is around the corner with the right relief fast. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Find great value on Claritin allergy relief products at Walgreens. Use as directed.